the modern workplace harbors a profound contradiction. Companies proudly proclaim our people are our greatest asset while treating those same people as interchangeable parts in a corporate machine. This disconnect sparked Rod Wagner's groundbreaking work that became required reading in executive suites worldwide. The message resonated so deeply that employees across industries rallied around the hashtag, #NotAWidget, sharing stories of workplace dehumanization that stripped away their dignity and potential. The timing couldn't have been more perfect, just before millions of workers demonstrated through the Great Resignation that they were no longer willing to be treated as widgets. The fundamental truth is both simple and revolutionary. Employees are not assets, and they're certainly not yours. They're human beings with complex needs, motivations, and potential that flourishes or withers based on how they're treated. The workplace operates on reciprocity. Employees return exactly what they receive. This became evident during the Great Recession when companies shifted the power balance, often forgetting employees have long memories. As the economy recovered, the implicit contract between workers and companies fundamentally changed. Young workers arrived with new expectations. Experienced workers became more mercenary after seeing trust betrayed. And social media transformed how workplace experiences spread. When engagement dies, it begins with declining desire to stay and recommend the company, followed by withholding best ideas, while customer commitment persists longest. Today's employees expect individualized treatment, each bringing unique motivations, preferences, and potential to the workplace. The direct manager serves as the crucial link in honoring this individuality, being the only person with both the authority and relationship depth to understand an employee's unique needs. Gallup research shows employees whose managers understand their strengths are 71% more likely to feel engaged and 59% more likely to stay long-term. Conversely, 40% of employees with managers clueless about their work actively plan to leave within a year. Effective managers recognize that employees respond differently to workplace approaches. Some thrive on public recognition, while others find it mortifying. Some need detailed instructions, while others feel micromanaged. These aren't mere preferences, but fundamental variations in how each person experiences work. Standardized engagement strategies often engage some while actively disengaging others. What happens when fear permeates a workplace? Circuit City provides a cautionary tale. After firing its highest-paid workers to cut costs, the company's feudal and paranoid culture accelerated its demise. By contrast, when HP needed to cut costs during the 1970 recession, Bill Hewitt implemented company-wide reduced hours with corresponding pay cuts, generating loyalty that sustained HP for decades. Fear is the crudest managerial tactic, an emotional baseball bat threatening employees' security. While it can drive short-term performance, it produces unhealthy results. The brain's fight-or-flight response makes thoughtful reflection impossible, explaining why rank-and-yank systems fail. When companies lay off workers, commitment among remaining employees drops by half, while desire to leave jumps 50%. The most talented leave first, while mediocre performers stay. The workplace atmosphere changes dramatically after layoff announcements. Silence replaces conversation, closed-door meetings multiply, and laughter disappears as fear destroys psychological safety. In these moments, innovation doesn't just slow, it stops entirely. Money functions as both necessity and psychological symbol, with learned rather than inherent value. In our direct deposit world, raises quickly lose motivational power due to hedonic adaptation, our tendency to return to baseline satisfaction regardless of circumstances. Harvard researchers demonstrated this by offering some workers 3 hours an hour for data entry, then surprising them with 4 hours an hour. These workers outperformed those initially offered 4 hours an hour, proving that unexpected generosity inspires reciprocity. Companies treating employees like commodities receive minimal effort in return. When employees believe their company is actively helping me reach my long-term financial goals, they're dramatically more loyal. 92% say their jobs bring out their best ideas versus just 12% of those who feel their company doesn't care about their financial future. Humans measure compensation relatively, not absolutely. Many would prefer earning less overall if it meant making more than peers, making salary transparency increasingly impactful on morale. Americans work an extra month yearly compared to 1976, with 25% receiving no paid vacation, despite evidence that extended hours produced diminishing returns and increased errors. Henry Ford recognized this when establishing the 40-hour work week, calling overwork stupid, wasteful, dangerous, and expensive. Progressive companies demonstrate better approaches. Patagonia allows flexible hours for outdoor activities, tripling profits since 2008 while maintaining high satisfaction. SAS Institute implemented a 35-hour work week with comprehensive benefits. CEO Jim Goodnight notes, after 8 hours, you're probably just adding bugs. Their turnover remains below 4% versus the industry's 20%, saving roughly $100 million annually in recruiting costs. However, corporate wellness initiatives become problematic when invading privacy. Health tracking apps, mandatory biometric screenings, and executives acting as body police reduce employees to widgets for optimization. Many workers believe their health is none of my organization's business, resenting intrusions that violate their dignity. Zookeepers exemplify meaning-driven work. Despite low pay, under $25,000, physically demanding dirty work, and limited advancement, they show extraordinary commitment. When asked what would make them quit, many couldn't imagine leaving, viewing even routine tasks as meaningful because they serve the animals. While purpose is obvious in life-saving professions, people in all occupations seek meaning, either from lifelong interests or discovering it along the way. Leadership largely determines whether employees find meaning, how they're treated, made to feel important, and how genuinely leaders embrace the mission. Even DMV work becomes meaningful when framed as helping teenagers on milestone days rather than processing forms. Leaders approach meaning in three ways. Some ignore its power, focusing solely on financial outcomes. Others understand but manipulate it through empty sloganeering. And a select few genuinely share employees' commitment to purpose. These authentic leaders may not give the slickest speeches, but employees listen when they speak. Life resembles a marshmallow experiment. The human brain engages in episodic future thought about 59 times daily. Our optimistic view of the future motivates present effort, with our ability to envision positive futures largely stemming from positive past experiences. In workplaces, only about half of American workers feel excited about their organizational future. When employees can't see a promising future, they look elsewhere. 62% of the least optimistic plan to leave within a year, versus just 3% of the most optimistic. Many companies now claim they can't guarantee people's futures and shift career management to employees. Yet psychologically, people invest most in organizations promising future returns, creating a contradiction. Companies expect commitment to long-term goals while offering little in return. The path forward requires seeing people as humans rather than widgets. Recognize individuality, honor reciprocity, eliminate fear, ensure fair compensation, respect well-being boundaries, nurture meaning, and create believable futures. Organizations making this shift don't just perform better financially, they become places where human potential flourishes. In a world increasingly dominated by automation and AI, our humanity isn't a limitation, but our greatest competitive advantage.